Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to come and reason together through the Scriptures. So get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. And we are in Matthew. We're continuing in Matthew 24, 25, and it is when Jesus comes out of the temple and his disciples show him the building of the temple, and they start asking him questions about the temple building. And Jesus talks about a time when not one stone is going to be left upon another. In other words, it's going to be a beginning of a new era, a new age. And this age will be where man, the New Testament time, man will be the temple. If he has the Holy Spirit in him, it says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that the Spirit dwells in you and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And then Jesus was telling us about the last times to beware of this big stinker, the abomination that makes desolate. Abomination means a bad smell, a horribly bad smell that makes the temple desolate or is going to try to. But now the temple is our bodies. He's going to try to make us rotten. Then it gets into these last days. They're going to be like the days of Noah. There's going to be a change. Believe me, people on the earth knew that there was the days of Noah, right? It's going to be something that everybody is going to see something, whether they're a believer or not a believer, they're going to see something that's going to be a big change, right? Don't you think that? And but the days that are before this flood, people were eating and drinking. They were not aware that it was coming, but when it happened, and it says there will be a great tribulation such as not occurred on the earth from the beginning until or ever will be. This is going to be we could even say it's the greatest tribulation ever. It's not been before or will it be afterwards. If it says that, it's the greatest. And the world's never seen anything like this. And then he told what that was going to be, what it's going to be like after the tribulation. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with great power and great glory. Then he goes on into chapter 25, and compares these, there's two comparisons he's going to make as to the preparation before the Son of Man comes, and it's found in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, and the parable of the 10 virgins, and then Matthew 25, 14 through 30. So I'm Gilbert. I'm from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Get your Bible, get a cup of coffee. We're going to start.
So I'll be reading in Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of the heavens be likened to 10 virgins who took their own lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 wise. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in the vessels with their own lamps. Now while the bridegroom tarried, all were asleep. But at midnight there was a cry, "Lo, the bridegroom! Come forth to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their own lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Peradventure there will not be enough for us and you. Go rather to them and sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other version, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Amen, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day or the hour.
We wanted to talk about this just for a moment, and then we're going to go to the other parable, right? The talents. But I was also thinking about the oil also could be talking about the Holy Spirit, not just reading the Bible, just reading the words of the Bible, but through the Holy Spirit in us, it gives us wisdom. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So I wonder, too, if it's one, Jesus had seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God. I wonder if the ideal eyes that we see with are not the seven spirits of God, that balance of the Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, that these five wise virgins had the seven eyes of the Spirit of God. They were given this understanding of the Bible, not just reading the Bible. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against thee. And through the counsel of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of counsel, it also rests in a man's heart. We start off with two eyes. And then when we're born up, right away we receive seven eyes, spiritual eyes, where we can see beyond the veil, where we can have that ideo eyesight, just like the menorah that leads us into fellowship with God's kids, which lead us through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus, leads us before the Father. Here's another parable, and you were going to add that first part of the other one to this, because it is just like, for it is just like, and it's still continuing the same conversation about the 10 virgins, right? It's just giving another analogy.
Then shall the kingdom of the heavens be like a man going into another country, called his own bondmen, and delivered to them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his several ability. And he went into another country. Straightway, who received the 5 talents went and traded for them and gained another 5. Likewise, he of the 2 gained other 2. But he who received the 1 went away and dug in the earth and hid the money of his Lord. Now, after a long time, the Lord of those bondmen cometh and makes a reckoning with them. And he who received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest to me 5 talents. See, I have gained thee another 5 talents. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful bondman. Thou hast been faithful over a few. I will set thee over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And he also of the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest to me 2 talents. See, I have gained the other 2 talents. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful bondman. Thou hast been faithful over few. I will set thee over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And he also that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering whence you did not scatter. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid the talent in the earth. See, here is your own. But his Lord answered and said to him, Wicked and slothful bondman, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered from whence I scattered not. Thou oughtest have taken and put my money in the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back mine with interest. Take away therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that has 10. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall abound. But from him that has not, even what he has shall be taken away. And cast out the unprofitable bondman into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
So somebody's been given some things. Are there gifts that God gives, like later on you could read about it, like in 1 Corinthians?
Yeah.
He's given, Jesus gave gifts. He gave apostles, prophets, and other people have ministries. Some people, there's a whole slew of ministries that are given by God, and one is given by God or set by God. Some are set by God, and some are gifts from Jesus to the body of to his sons, to the these different flocks. I like using that term with people that are new to the Lord. They're not used to all the fancy church terms, which I don't know if I like them too much either. But anyway, to the different flocks, you know, if...
That's a general way to say it.
Yeah. If they're different flocks, you know, they're just... There are people that just do things well. Some people just love to have people in their houses. Some people love to teach, and they give gifts. They give what they've learned to other people as gifts. And then there's that one dude that buried it in the earth, didn't he? The last one buried it in the earth, and what happened to him?
Well, his whole attitude towards God was wrong to start with, but it appears in the end of the matter. He says, I knew you were a hard man. That's how he thought about God, that God is a hard man.
Not as his father, not as dad.
I knew you were a hard man.
Yeah.
He looked at him completely, not even like God. He said he was a hard man. Yeah. And you reap where you don't sow.
He looked at him like a man. I never thought of that. He brought him down to his level.
Some plant, some water, but God causes the growth. That's what it says one place. He says, you reap where you don't sow. Well, no, some plant, some water. And yeah, that is God. We plant, we water, but God causes the growth. But he says, you reap where you didn't sow and you gather where you didn't even scatter. What an attitude he has towards God.
You know, back up a little bit. I knew you were. I knew. What kind of statement is that? Sounds like a hard head. Sounds like a person already had their mind made up.
He was upset about having to produce anything.
So,
where was... He didn't like the... Like Maynard Krebs, this is the old-time Dobie Gillis. He didn't like this term, work. He didn't like to do anything. And he did not like that whole situation with having to do anything.
But just break up those first three words. I knew you. What?
I knew thee that thou art a hard man.
But how about I knew you? That doesn't mean I know you.
I knew you.
I knew you.
Like
so
past
I knew.
Tense, almost.
I knew and rejected you.
Yeah,
really?
I knew you that you're a hard man.
How does that fit with Jesus said, change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand? How does that fit with that first repentance? And how does it fit with following him? It sounds like you rejected both of those. You're not my dad. I knew you. You're a hard man. And he made him his equal?
And he was not someone under a lot of compulsion, meaning he much given, much required. Well, one given, not much required. And look at the attitude.
And I was afraid.
He went. He hid that and went and did whatever he wanted.
Yeah, I hid your talent. What else?
I hid your talent. What is this? Go back to that. What is it? 25. I was afraid. I went away and hid thy talent in the earth. See, thou hast thine own. Okay, so he hid that talent. And while the other guys were putting the talents that God had given them to use, putting it to work, he hid it and left it. He went and did his own thing.
And he says, I've hidden what, here's what is yours. And the others did not,
he didn't even take ownership of his gift.
The others didn't say any of those words.
They said nothing. They just go, here, I've done this.
I've been entrusted with this.
Here, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know I am to have a crop. They knew it. They said immediately, here, you gave me five, here's five more.
Because what's supposed
to be— They knew the rules.
But what's supposed to be done with that talent? It's supposed to be gained and give to others within the flock.
So he didn't share, and it says he was afraid. There's a difference between being afraid and fearing the Lord, because it says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. He was afraid and knew he was a hard man. That is not fearing the Lord.
That was to him, he was a hard man.
To him, he's...
To a hard head.
It's like withholding, you know, you're talking about for the flock. You're supposed to be giving those to the flock. He's withholding that from the flock. God gave him something to put to work, and he's withholding that from the flock.
You know, Judas Iscariot did some of these things. He held a money bag, and he was a thief. And Jesus knew this, you know, all along. And Jesus actually, there's a lament by Jesus how they had sweet fellowship together and so on. And Jesus' attitude toward Judas Iscariot was like a brother. And he was sad by it. Jesus was not mean when he tells this lament about before Judas betrayed him. They had sweet fellowship together. Doesn't it say that? Very interesting. I don't know if people think about
it. He was more
things.
Wounded over it.
Yeah.
Than he wasn't angry over it. Yeah. It was just what happened.
God so loved the world. He loved in the beginning. He started off loving everybody. Everybody had an equal chance. And
when it said he stuck it in the dirt, well, okay, you can say he buried a gift. You can also say that he had a talent that he didn't use, except he buried it in his own nature, and he only used his gift according to his nature, meaning for himself.
Mm. He wasn't going to share it.
He only for himself.
Yeah, the gifts.
A loner.
If you know the gifts of the Lord, they're that I'm thinking of, they weren't be meant to help other people out, to give to other people. You know, like in the ministries, there's certain gifts.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because it even gets into the fact that like a person that has to do with not discerning the body. When somebody says, you know, the hand can't say to the foot, you know, I have no need of you. But when a person is saying that, you know, you don't need me or I don't need you, you're withholding something, you know, and you're rejecting something that God gave to somebody else for you. Or that ministry, you're rejecting that, or whatever it may be. And that gets into that area especially in the body of Christ, where that is lining up with not discerning the body. That's one aspect of it.
Well, what if you're an equipper and you don't want to equip? You just walk around with all the equipment you've got and keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're hoarding it.
I know this and I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to hold my information that God's given me, and I'm not going to share it with anybody. So this is not only did he just have one, he was just a person that all of these character traits were here.
Did you look at that last verse? Jesus only uses this term for this last individual that goes into outer darkness. He called him worthless and he called him a slave. He didn't call him a son. And well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And I think if you look at other scriptures, that joy is that. It reminds me, there's a parable, and maybe it's not appropriate to say it at this time because I don't know if it's in Matthew, but... A son, if a master treats his son, pardon me, if a master treats his servant well, he will have gained a son. Now, what is God talking about that there? Isn't that really talking about becoming a son of God?
Yeah.
That we start off as a servant, and he wants us to get along in his family and serve each other, not be, he does not want, you know, and when he returns again, we are going to be the perfect Christ's body, as the perfect flock. He's going to purify us. And we will all be in harmony with one another. There will not again learn war. They'll beat their swords into plowshares. They will not again learn war. God's kids, I believe, during that thousand-year reign will be on the earth, and they will be in perfection of unity. They will be getting along. They'll be taking care of each other. They will have gone from being servants, and they will have earned sonship. For all those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I think we are God's sons now, but we have to continue to the end and mature in that. We have to get better and better and better and better and a lot better.
To where the ruling and reigning part comes in. So it's training for big things.
It says we'll rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years.
Yeah, so I mean,
I don't think we'll be reigning over the ones that have been perfected, but there will be other people that will become believers.
I always took it just to mean it's the earth. And
right. Well, just going back to Adam and Eve that we're told, you know, he created them in his image and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and so on. And I presented to people, how about to rule over the fish, you got to swim faster and deeper than any like mako shark or, you know, the whales that can dive deeply and so on. You've got to be faster. You can hold your breath or breathe longer. Maybe you have
a different creature.
A different creation. Yes, you don't need to.
A different creation.
And a bird, you could fly higher. You can fly faster and sharper than a peregrine falcon. He said rule over them. Now, Noah, after the flood, and man was fallen, they continued on in being fallen people, but God was still saving people out of that, but they weren't perfected yet. Like Adam and Eve were perfect when they were told to rule or have dominion over the fish of the sea and so on. But Noah was not told that. He was just said, be fruitful and multiply. That's the only thing was told to him. In other words, man was fallen and we're trying to rule over the air, you know, the different ideas about global warming and this and that. And all the decisions they make don't seem to make a whole lot of scientific sense, but they make all these little judgments and rules that you find out in 5 years, all of a sudden, oops, we all turn on our lights at the same time and then blows a big plug. You know, that's going to be interesting when we really tie ourselves in a knot with energy. And this is not a political message, but I'm a watcher. And our ideas usually are pretty limited or they're politically based or man, you know, the doctrine of Herod and on all sides. And man's got his ideas and they don't work out too well most of the time.
Now, in these two parables, the last one said to the women to the virgins that didn't do what they were supposed to, they just cried out, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he says, amen, I say to you, I don't know you. That was all he said to him. I'm not going to open to you. But over here to this person that came up.
You know what? Too, our voice has a signature. They're starting to use that.
Yeah.
God knows our voice. All he has to do is hear
voice. He didn't know their voice.
Your animals know your voice. Your dog knows your voice. They couldn't even recognize their voice.
And this last story, the servant that didn't do anything except he called him wicked, slothful, unprofitable, outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Now that is a lot of energy going on there. I mean, that is giant. Instead of I do not know you and don't let him in. So that's just...
Where'd you see wicked and slothful?
Verse 26.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
he says, you knew I reap where I don't sow, and you know I gather where I don't scatter. And, well, he didn't like that. He didn't like that.
Yeah, because you're doing that for the whole group of the whole flock that they have sustenance. You don't keep what God, if God gives you something, you don't keep it
to
yourself.
This is a person, one of God's people, that thought like this. And they knew God. They understood God.
And maybe loved by a lot of people.
But yet, this is what happened to him.
In God's eyes.
In God's eyes. This is how he looks at it.
Then the next context. We'll get started in it. I don't know if we'll have time to finish it, but let's get started in it.
But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory with and all his angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say to them on his right, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the world's foundation. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or athirst, and gave you a drink? And when we saw you a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And when we saw thee as sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say to them, Amen, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto these, my brethren, these least you did it to me. Then shall you say to them on the left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you gave me no food, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then they shall answer, saying, Lord, when did we see thee hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Amen, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of these least, you did it neither unto me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
This is a different era. Again, Jesus is in front of the temple. They had walked out of it, and the disciples were showing him the buildings of the temple. And he's explaining to them the last days and the division. And this looks like to be the end of the thousand-year reign, the judgment day, and because that's when the wicked are, this would be the same as Revelation. I can't remember exactly what chapter the judgment day is.
I think 21.
21, I think it is. And anyway, there'll be a division, and then there's the beginning of the new heavens and new earth. And this doesn't happen until there is not a battle, but Satan is loosed for a short period. He prepares this battle, but fire comes out of heaven and destroys him. And this is the same time the sheep and the goats and that judgment day. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.